Good afternoon. Welcome to the September 2nd, 2025 regular meeting of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Thank you, Mr. President. Supervisor Chan.
Present.
Chan present. Supervisor Chen. Chen present. Supervisor Dorsey. Dorsey present. Supervisor Engardio. Engardio present. Supervisor Fielder. Fielder present. Supervisor Mahmoud. Mahmoud present. Supervisor Mandelman.
Present.
Mandelman present. Supervisor Melgar. Melgar present. Supervisor Sauter. Sauter present. Supervisor Cheryl. Cheryl present. And Supervisor Walton.
Present.
Walton present. Mr. President, all members are present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush Ohlone community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples. Colleagues, will you join me in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance? On behalf of our board, I want to acknowledge the staff at SFGov TV today, particularly Kalina Mendoza. They record each of our meetings and make the transcripts available to the public online. Madam Clerk, do you have any communications?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors welcomes you all to attend this meeting in person here in the Legislative Chamber, which is located within City Hall in room 250. Or you may watch the proceeding on SFGov TV's channel 26. Or view the live stream at www.sfgovtv.org. If you would like to submit your public comment in writing, you can send it via email to bos@sfgov.org or use the postal service. Just address the envelope to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, the number 1, Dr. Carlton, capital B, Goodlett Place, City Hall, room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. If you need to make a future reasonable accommodation request under the Americans with Disability Act, or if you need language assistance, please contact the clerk's office at least 2 business days in advance. Our phone number is 415-554-5184. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Let's go to approval of our meeting minutes.
Approval of the July 1st, July 8th, July 15th, and July 22nd, 2025 board meeting minutes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. May I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented? Moved by Melgar, seconded by Walton. Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
On the minutes as presented, Supervisor Fielder. Fielder, aye. Supervisor Mahmoud. Mahmoud, aye. Supervisor Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Supervisor Melgar. Melgar, aye. Supervisor Sauter.
Aye.
Sauter, aye. Supervisor Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Supervisor Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. Supervisor Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. Supervisor Chen.
Aye.
Chen, aye. Supervisor Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. And Supervisor Engardio.
Aye.
Engardio, aye. There are 11 ayes.
Without objection, the minutes will be approved after public comment as presented. Madam Clerk, let's go to the consent agenda, items 1 through 4.
Items 1 through 4 are on consent. These items are considered to be routine. If a member objects, an item may be removed and considered separately.
Please call the roll.
On items 1 through 4, Supervisor Fielder. Fielder, aye. Supervisor Mahmoud. Mahmoud, aye. Supervisor Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Supervisor Melgar.
Aye.
Melgar, aye. Supervisor Sauter.
Aye.
Sauter, aye. Supervisor Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Supervisor Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. Supervisor Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. Supervisor Chen.
Aye.
Chen, aye. Supervisor Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. And Supervisor Engardio. Engardio, aye. There are 11 ayes.
Without objection, these ordinances are finally passed. Madam Clerk, let's go to unfinished business. Please call item 5.
Item 5, this is an ordinance to amend the administrative code to promote equitable access to shelter and behavioral health services by prohibiting the city from siting a new city-funded homeless shelter, transitional housing facility, or certain behavioral health residential care and treatment facilities, collectively known as covered facilities, in a neighborhood where the neighborhood share of the city's shelter and transitional housing beds exceeds the neighborhood share of the city's unsheltered persons, and to prohibit the city from siting a new city-funded homeless shelter within 300 feet of an existing homeless shelter, and to authorize the board to waive these prohibitions upon finding that approving the covered facility or homeless shelter at the proposed location is in the public interest, and to provide a sunset date of December 31st, 2031.
Please call the roll.
On item 5, Supervisor Fielder. Fielder, aye. Supervisor Mahmoud. Mahmoud, aye. Supervisor Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Supervisor Melgar. Melgar, aye. Supervisor Sauter. Sauter, aye. Supervisor Sherrill. Sherrill, aye. Supervisor Walton. Walton, aye. Supervisor Chan.
No.
Chan, no. Supervisor Chen. Chen, no. Supervisor Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. And Supervisor Engardio.
Aye.
Engardio, aye. There are 9 ayes and 2 noes, with Supervisors Chan and Chen voting no.
The ordinance is finally passed. Madam Clerk, please call item 6.
Item 6, this is an ordinance that was referred without recommendation from the Land Use and Transportation Committee. It amends the planning code to eliminate limits on non-residential use sizes in the following neighborhood commercial districts: the Pacific Avenue, Polk Street, West Portal Avenue, North Beach, the North Beach Special Use District, regional commercial districts, and residential commercial districts, and to allow specified non-residential uses that exceed the use size limits to divide into smaller spaces that may continue to exceed the use size limits without conditional use authorization, to further adjust the use size limit in all NCDs to a round number, and to affirm the CEQA determination and to make the appropriate findings.
Please call the roll on this item.
On item 6, Supervisor Fielder. Fielder, aye. Supervisor Mahmoud. Mahmoud, aye. Supervisor Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Supervisor Melgar. Melgar, aye. Supervisor Sauter. Sauter, aye. Supervisor Sherrill. Sherrill, aye. Supervisor Walton. Walton, aye. Supervisor Chan.
No.
Chan, no. Supervisor Chen. Chen, no. Supervisor Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. And Supervisor Engardio. Engardio, aye. There are 9 ayes and 2 noes, with Supervisors Chan and Chen voting no.
The ordinance is finally passed. Madam Clerk, please call item 7.
Item 7, this is an ordinance to amend the administrative code to revise the goals and reporting requirements for food purchasing by the Department of Public Health and Sheriff's Department for city hospitals and jails, and to eliminate the sunset date such that the program's standards and reporting requirements will remain in effect indefinitely.
Supervisor Walton.
Thank you, President Mandelman. Colleagues, before August recess, we amended this file to add an expiration date and remove the percentage goals for the Department of Public Health to allow them more time for discussion. Before recess, we amended the file to add an expiration date and remove the percentage goals for DPH. Now they have reached an agreement on their goals, and I would like to make a motion to amend this legislation to reflect that before this policy expires later this month. And the amendments read as, on page 6, lines 20 through 22, add the following language: DPH shall source 5% of food from medium to small farms by January 2027, and increase sourcing from medium to small farms to 5-7% by January 2028, and to 10-15% by January 2032. On page 7, lines 23 through 24, section 21D3, add the following clarification for patient dietary protocols: DPH will continue to adhere to patient dietary protocols if plant-based foods are not appropriate substitutes for a patient. And these amendments have been submitted to everyone as well. And so I'd like to make a motion to amend item number 7 with these amendments.
So there's been a motion made by Supervisor Walton, seconded by Supervisor Chan. Colleagues, can we take the amendment without objection? I think we can. Without objection, the amendment is approved. And Madam Clerk, can you call the roll on the ordinance as amended?
On item 7 as amended, Supervisor Fielder. Fielder, aye. Supervisor Mahmoud. Mahmoud, aye. Supervisor Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Supervisor Melgar.
Aye.
Melgar, aye. Supervisor Sauter.
Aye.
Sauter, aye. Supervisor Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Supervisor Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. Supervisor Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. Supervisor Chen.
Aye.
Chen, aye. Supervisor Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. And Supervisor Engardio. Engardio, aye. There are 11 ayes.
Without objection, the ordinance is passed on first reading as amended. Madam Clerk, let's go to new business. Please call items 8 and 9 together.
Items 8 and 9 are two resolutions that determine if the person-to-person, premise-to-premise transfer and an issuance of a liquor license will serve the public convenience. For item 8, this is a Type 21 off-sale general beer, wine, and distilled spirits liquor license to Jumbo Trading Company, LLC, located at 761 Jackson Street. And for item 9, this is a Type 90 issuance on-sale general music venue liquor license to Universal Life Chorale, LLC, doing business as The Stud, located at 1123 Folsom Street, and to request that the California Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control impose conditions on the issuance of each license.
All right, colleagues, I think we can take these items, same house, same call. Without objection, the resolutions are adopted. Madam Clerk, we don't have committee reports today, so let's go to roll call.
First member to introduce new business is Supervisor Fielder. Submit, thank you. Supervisor Mahmoud.
Good afternoon, colleagues. It's good to be back, and good to see everyone as well. I wanted to share a story that I haven't told before. I shared it earlier in the steps of City Hall as I introduce a resolution in support of Proposition 50, which is that years ago, I lived under a dictatorship. As a teenager, I lived in Pakistan after an authoritarian leader who took the country from a democracy to a dictatorship under the guise of safety and security. Slowly, I saw how that dictator stripped away the institutions that we thought we could rely on for change, from the judiciary to the Constitution. I saw terror being used as an excuse to quickly seize more power and take away fundamental human rights. American democracy, I knew, though, was different. It's what gave my family the opportunity to truly break into the middle class once we returned to the States and gave me the chance to proudly serve our city and county of San Francisco, and it's the reason that we continue to be able to gather here today and speak freely, whether on the steps of City Hall or in the chambers that we are sitting in. But these freedoms in America, we have to recognize, are still not a given. We can see more clearly now than ever the cracks in our fragile democracy. Our democracy is under attack. And the opposition isn't even trying to hide it. What we're seeing from the White House and Trump's allies for redistricting in Texas is an overt effort to rig our elections. It's a growing and clear message that this current administration will do anything to seize more power. It's a terrifying pattern that I've seen personally before living in the streets of Lahore, and we can't sit idly by with our hands tied behind our backs, waiting for a check and balance to rein in these power grabs. There's simply too much at stake. The 2026 election is just around the corner, and this administration and the federal government has shown it will stop at nothing to continue pushing its hate-filled agenda that hurts our immigrants, hurts our working families, and hurts our seniors. We've seen what they've already done with their big, ugly bill to target Medicare and Medicaid, roll back clean energy investments, and launch targeted ICE raids, putting our most marginalized communities at risk. But we can always and should always fight back. That's why today I'm introducing a resolution in support of Governor Newsom's Prop 50 to push back against MAGA election rigging plans, oftentimes because the best defense is a good offense. And in supporting Proposition 50, we are sending a clear message back to our federal government. In this city, we don't tolerate authoritarians. We stand united with our working families, with our seniors, with our immigrant communities. And here in San Francisco, we stand together for our democracy, for our freedom, and for our country. Thank you to Supervisors Dorsey, Cheryl, Chen, Sauter, Walton, Chan, and President Mandelman for your early support, and I hope colleagues to have your support as well. Thank you. Second, I wanted to provide an update on some of the outside boards and commissions I serve on. I have the pleasure of serving alongside Supervisor Walton and Environment Director Tyrone Ju on the Bay Area District Board. Recently, we approved the Air District's $312 million budget earlier this summer, which included new environmental justice and outreach roles supporting programs that serve communities affected by air pollution. The budget reflects an increase in fines to refineries and other large polluters and increased fees to ensure that enforcement programs cover more of their costs. The Air District was active in Sacramento as well, supporting bills that increase the scope of the Clean Cars for All program and create funding opportunities for air quality monitoring. A fun anecdote that I'll share with my colleagues is that the primary opposition, I believe, to Clean Cars for All was Jay Leno, that comedian dude, but odd enemies in California. I also had the honor of representing the Air District as a speaker at All Aboard Bay Area Transit Day, advocating for public transportation and its critical role in protecting air quality in the Bay Area. I look forward to continuing to represent San Francisco in supporting the Air District alongside Supervisor Walton in combating air pollution and creating a safer, healthier region. The rest I submit.
Thank you, Supervisor Mahmoud. Supervisor Mandelman.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Colleagues, today I'm introducing a renewal of the Behested Payment Waiver Resolution that we approved back in February for the offices of the mayor, city attorney, assessor, recorder, and city administrator to solicit donations to cover goods and services, including legal services, to protect our immigrant and LGBTQ plus communities and defend reproductive rights, environmental protections, and racial equity efforts. I'm also introducing a resolution designating September 2025 as Childhood Cancer Awareness Month in the city and county of San Francisco. Every year, more than 16,000 American children are diagnosed with cancer. Globally, an estimated 400,000 children and adolescents are diagnosed each year. Childhood cancer remains the leading cause of death by disease for U.S. children between infancy and age 15. Here in the Bay Area, and especially right here in San Francisco, we're fortunate to have some of the leading institutions working on the front lines of treatment, research, and family support, including UCSF Benioff Children's Hospital, Sutter Health California, and Lucile Packard Children's Hospital at Stanford. Yet our progress in tackling childhood cancer is threatened by the current erosion of federal research support. In the year-end 2024 spending package, Congress removed key provisions that would have supported pediatric cancer research, such as the Accelerating Kids to Research Act, the Creating Hope Reauthorization Act, and the Give Kids a Chance Act. These programs were meant to improve access to medicine, incentivize drug development, and support innovative combination therapies. Federal funding for pediatric cancer research has long been insufficient. Only about 4% of the National Cancer Institute's cancer research budget goes toward pediatric cancers. Coupled with recent funding instability, including proposed NIH budget cuts, vital clinical trials, staffing, and the overarching scientific infrastructure are all at risk. That's why community-based support is more critical than ever. For more than 30 years, organizations like the American Cancer Fund for Children, Kids Cancer Connection, and Lions Clubs International have stepped up, providing psychosocial services for children undergoing treatment. I want to thank Dr. Amy and Stephen Firestein for alerting my office to Childhood Cancer Awareness Month and working with Melanie Mathewson in my office on this resolution. And I want to thank co-sponsors Supervisors Cheryl and Gardio, Chen, Melgar, Sauter, and Fielder. I have a brief update from the Transbay Joint Powers Authority Board, where I serve as vice chair. Last week, the TJPA received notice that the Federal Railroad Administration has decided to withdraw our awarded $24.5 million CREASY grant for the downtown rail extensions design for track and rail systems. In a subsequent press release, Transportation Secretary Duffy also withdrew funding for a number of other projects related to California high-speed rail. Although disappointing, this loss of funding is not fatal for either the downtown rail extension or the portal, and the projects will continue to move forward with other local, regional, and state funds. Finally, I'm asking that we adjourn today's meeting in memory of Father Mario Paul Ferrana, who died on August 5th, 2025, at the age of 80. Mario Ferrana was born in San Francisco in 1944, attended Epiphany Grammar School, and graduated from the University of Santa Clara before entering St. Patrick's Seminary in the late 1960s. After his ordainment, Father Ferrana served as associate pastor and as pastor to a number of parishes in San Francisco: St. Kevin, St. John, St. Catherine, St. Michael, St. Stephen, St. Paul's, St. Philip the Apostle, and St. James. He also acted for a time as chairman of the Mission Deanery Council, chaplain at Sacred Heart High, and vocations director of the San Francisco Diocese, where he encouraged, advised, and mentored individuals seeking the priesthood. In 1993, after previously serving as its associate pastor, Father Ferrana returned to St. Paul's Catholic Church in Noe Valley as its pastor, a post he would hold until his death. Back in 1993, however, it was not clear the assignment would be a long one. In autumn of that year, St. Paul's was on a list of churches to be closed forever as part of a diocese reorganization plan. Led by their new pastor, the parishioners of St. Paul's protested the closure and successfully persuaded officials to preserve the church. It was the only church on the diocese's closure list to remain open. Over the subsequent 30 years, Father Ferrana would become a truly beloved figure in the St. Paul's and broader Noe Valley community. I feel fortunate to have had the opportunity to meet him in October of last year when I presented him with a certificate of honor for his lifetime of service and especially his dedication to St. Paul's. He raised millions of dollars for projects to ensure that the church would last well beyond his pastorship. The projects completed on his watch include a seismic retrofit of the church, the replacement of the slate roof, the refurbishment of the steeple crosses with gold leaf, the building of a new school, and a restoration of all the church's German-made late 19th century stained glass windows. Father Mario Ferrana was the consummate steward of a place that, as he described it, was where celebrations in people's lives have taken place, both happy ones and sorrowful ones, weddings and baptisms and confirmations. It's a place where people can gather to get support, to have that sense of family and community, to feel and understand that they are not isolated nor alone. Rest in peace, Father Mario Ferrana. May your memory be a blessing. And the rest I submit.
Thank you, Mr. President. Supervisor Melgar.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Colleagues, I hope everyone had a good rest in August. I'm glad to see everyone back. Today I am introducing a few things. I prefer to introduce a resolution proclaiming September 2025 as the 10th annual San Francisco Transit Month. Public transit is not just how we move around, it is the backbone of our city's livability, safety, economy, and vitality, also our climate future. Muni alone carries more riders than all other Bay Area agencies combined. And it is essential for seniors, young people, people with disability, working families, anyone who depends on an affordable, reliable way to get around. And as we all know, we're at a crossroads. Muni, BART, Caltrain are all facing fiscal cliffs. It's threatening, devastating cuts to our services. And a thriving San Francisco just cannot exist without a thriving transportation system. If we fail to act, we jeopardize our climate goals, our downtown recovery, the ability of our residents to get to work, school, play. Transit Month is a chance to celebrate riders, but also to highlight our operators, to encourage more San Franciscans to ride around, and to recommit ourselves to fighting for sustainable funding, so that transit remains frequent, affordable, dependable, and safe. So let us mark this 10th year of Transit Month, not only with a celebration, but with urgency, because the future of San Francisco depends on strong, well-funded public transit. I want to remind us that it is also a contest. There is a leaderboard for elected officials, ourselves, and you can log every ride that you take on any public transportation system in the Bay Area, and it's kind of fun. I'm also introducing a resolution supporting school attendance in the Be There campaign, Be Here campaign. Colleagues, I am introducing this resolution along with the San Francisco Unified School District in their campaign to combat chronic absenteeism and to build a culture of belonging among our public school students. Chronic absenteeism means missing more than 10% of your school year, just 2 days a month. It may not sound like much, But consequences are actually quite severe. Higher risk of academic failure, dropping out, lasting harm to student well-being that carries actually through to adulthood. High absenteeism in the first few years of school has even been shown to lead to higher involvement in the juvenile justice system. While SFUSD has made progress since the pandemic, reducing absenteeism from 29% to 22% to 23% in 2024, it is still far above pre-pandemic levels of 14%. And the impacts are not equal. Foster youth, homeless youth, African American and Pacific Islander students face rates above 40 and 50%. The scale matters. In 2024, students missed over 670,000 days of school, costing nearly $55 million in lost state funding, but also having a devastating effect on their lives. We must support these students and their families with a two-generation strategy. If we can cut absenteeism in half, not only do outcomes improve for children, but SFUSD could nearly close its budget deficit without any additional cuts. The Be Here campaign is a collaborative, multi-year effort to support families, address barriers to attendance, strengthen student success. September is Attendance Awareness Month, and this is a moment to reaffirm that San Francisco believes every child deserves to be here and thrive. Lastly, I am introducing a proclamation naming September 14th Hatch Day for Claude the albino alligator. Claude is turning the big 3-0, and we are celebrating all month long. I would like to invite you all to Claude's 30th Hatch Day party on Sunday, September 14th from 11 to 12:30 at the Cal Academy. We are gonna have a birthday sing-along, a fish cake for Claude, cupcakes for guests, and photos with the guest of honor. We all can use a little good news these days, and in the current national climate, support for science institutions is more important than ever. So I am introducing this as a proclamation and hope to have your support. Lastly, I will update you on my outside commission involvement, which is the MTC, and as part of the MTC at the Bay Area Housing Finance Agency. I wanted to report that the board of the MTC did approve the resolution supporting SB 63, the regional tax measure to support public transportation. It will include operational funding for MTA, BART, Caltrain, ferries, and all the other smaller operators around the Bay Area. It is, as we all know, sorely needed. Also, I wanted to report that the Bay Area Housing Agency approved a budget and a work plan that supports small site acquisition, which is good for San Francisco, with a slightly higher AMI for folks who participate to 120% of AMI. It includes workforce housing, and that is a work plan that was approved as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Supervisor Melgar. Supervisor Sauter.
Yes, colleagues, today I have one resolution to introduce and one in memoriam to share. First, I'm pleased to introduce a resolution commemorating the 150th anniversary of Lotta's Fountain. You may know Lotta's Fountain as the 24-foot tall cast iron bronze ornate fountain located at the intersection of Market, Kearney, and Geary in District 3 by a few feet. Or you may know Lotta's Fountain as the spot where every April 18th at 5:12 a.m., firefighters, police officers, and some brave residents who set their alarm clocks participate in a memorial ceremony at the fountain to remember the victims of the 1906 earthquake and recognize the importance that the fountain played in the aftermath of that tragedy as a central meeting point for San Franciscans seeking refuge from the city's ruins. What you might not know is that Lotta's Fountain was also the site of a famous 1910 Christmas Eve performance by opera singer Luisa Tetrazzini, who drew a crowd of 250,000 people, which is remarkable, to the fountain for that performance, or that a 2023 survey conducted by the San Francisco Monuments and Memorials Advisory Committee found Lotta's Fountain to be the most liked monument or memorial in the entire civic art collection. Born in 1847, Charlotte Lotta Crabtree was an actress, entertainer, comedian, and philanthropist. At one point in the 1880s, she was the highest paid actress in the country. Tree Commission, this fountain to provide free drinking water to the public as an expression of her gratitude to San Francisco. It was gifted to the city and county on September 9th, 1875. 150 years later, it stands as a testament to San Francisco's history, generosity of its people, and beauty of civic design. I also have an in memoriam today for Christina Tina Moylan, who passed on August 11th. Tina was born in Sherman Oaks, California on February 17th, 1948. She moved north to San Francisco to attend the San Francisco College for Women, where she graduated with a bachelor's in both French and art history. She would soon meet Mike Moylan, and they would wed 3 years later, raise a son, Kevin, and daughter, Kellyanne. The family's job and interests would see them move often from San Francisco to San Jose, to England, to Sacramento, and back to San Francisco. But no matter where she lived, Tina always sought out engaging activities in support of her neighborhood and community. She served for 2 terms as the president of Russian Hill Neighbors, shaping the now 45-year-old neighborhood association in many ways. Reflecting on her service with Russian Hill Neighbors, one board member offered this, quote, "From the start, she stood out, the vibrant redhead with colorful clothes and bold necklaces who was always in motion. She encouraged me to take on a larger role in the organization and encouraged my thoughts and ideas. Tina seemed to know everyone in the neighborhood and city and always knew who to contact to get things done." Another board member shared this story of Tina's eagerness to improve her community. Quote, "I first met Tina and Mike at a Russian Hill neighbor community meeting. I was then president, and we put out a call for volunteers. Tina's hand popped up quickly, much to Mike's dismay. It seems that Tina was always quick to jump in and help. There was such a powerful force in that little package. What a gift both she and Mike were to our organization. I'll always remember her vitality and spirit, such a blessing to all who knew her," end quote. "I saw this vitality and spirit in Tina as well when I first sought out her advice and expertise. I was a newly elected president of North Beach Neighbors, eager to learn from her service and unite our neighborhoods. She was generous, kind, and warm. Russian Hill, District 3, and all of San Francisco are lucky to have benefited from her service and her spirit. Blessings and strength to her family, and may she rest in peace. And the rest I submit."
Thank you, Supervisor Sauter.
Madam Clerk, let's go to our 2:30 special order.
Yes, it is now time for the special order at 2:30, recognition of commendations for meritorious service to the City and County of San Francisco.
And I think that today we have just District 2, Supervisor Cheryl.
Oop, there we go. Thank you, President Mandelman and colleagues. Today, I am very honored to commend the Canines Companion San Francisco South Bay Chapter in recognition of National Service Dog Month. And Dave and anyone with you, would you please come up to the podium with our friends? Most importantly, our friends. All right. For the record, these are official service dogs. So please, right here. All right. Since 1975, Canine Companions has led the service dog industry, providing expertly trained dogs free of charge to adults, children, and veterans with disabilities, as well as facility dogs to professionals in healthcare, education, and criminal justice. The San Francisco South Bay chapter, founded in 1993, supports this mission locally by raising awareness, recruiting volunteers, and fostering community across Santa Clara, Santa Cruz, San Mateo, and San Francisco counties. And with us today are four puppies in training and one service dog. Did I get those numbers right? There we go. All right. Representing the independence and the joy that Canine Companions brings to thousands of lives nationwide. In a moment, we'll be hearing from Angela Kramer, who serves as a graduate coordinator for the chapter. Angela is also the facilitator for her mom, Vicky, who is here with her service dog, Napoleon.
Napoleon.
After experiencing a double brain aneurysm, Vicky was unable to walk for 5 years. But with Napoleon's partnership, and especially with Angela's support, she has regained greater independence and quality of life. And Vicky, we are so proud and happy to have you here with us today. We're also joined by some dedicated puppy raisers. We've got Dave Lasker here with Swayze, Kathy Java here with Brett, Meredith Alexander with Edison, and Dave Lair with Mina. I want to give Dave Lasker, especially a resident of Cathedral Hill, a special thank you for organizing this today and also for organizing the get-together we had that I think I saw quite a few of you at earlier. These volunteers, you all are at the heart of the Canine Companion's mission, preparing future service dogs to really transform lives. On behalf of the Board of Supervisors, I really want to thank all of you individually and Canine Companion as a whole, local chapter, and our furry guests today for their compassion, dedication, and service to our community. Congratulations, and the floor is yours.
Thank you. My name is Angela, and this is my mom, Victorious Vicky. And I'm honored to be here today to share our journey with Canine Companions and a very special service dog, Napoleon III. Napoleon? Up. This is Napoleon III, who has completely changed our lives. On Mother's Day in 2013, my mom, Vicky, suffered a double brain aneurysm at the age of 56. It was a devastating moment, but my husband and I made the decision to life-changing decision to move her in with us in the Outer Richmond in San Francisco. For more than 6 years, my mom was wheelchair-bound, and for 3.5 years, she was nonverbal. Today, I'm beyond proud to say my mom is a walking, talking miracle. Thank you to CPMC Davies and SF State Speech Therapy Program who helped get my mom back. I've been her full-time caregiver for 12 years, and it hasn't been easy, but it's been one of the greatest honors of my life to walk alongside as she's conquered mountain after mountain. In January of 2020, we were gifted Napoleon III, completely free of charge from Canine Companions. And when I say he's changed our lives, I mean it. Napoleon picks up from the floor, items from the floor, opens doors, and also, most of all, he motivates my mom to walk every day throughout the streets of San Francisco. When Napoleon first joined our family, my mom could only take 20 steps with her walker before needing to rest. Today, she's walking 3 miles a day with just a cane. Living with a disability is challenging, but at times deeply isolating. But Napoleon has been more than just a service dog. He's been a bridge to the world. People stop to talk, to smile, and connect because of him. We feel lucky to live in San Francisco, a city that's not only leading the charge of accessibility and ADA improvements, but is also recognizing the life-changing impact of service dogs. So today, we're grateful to celebrate San Francisco's proclamation of September as Service Dog Month. And if you see us walking around the city, please stop to say hi. And on behalf of our family, and thanks to Canine Companions and Napoleon III, and to all who are working to make San Francisco better and more inclusive place for all. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Meredith Alexander. I have a hearing loss, and I had hearing loss in 1992, and I was born.
All right, Madam Clerk, let's go back to roll call, but I think we should start with Supervisor Walton and come back to Supervisor Sherrill.
Thank you so much, President Meldman. Colleagues, today I have a resolution, a couple of external board updates, and an in memoriam. On July 29th, 2025, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency proposed rescinding the 2009 greenhouse gas endangerment finding, which has been the legal and scientific foundation for regulating greenhouse gas emissions for more than 15 years. Following extensive scientific review and more than 380,000 public comments, the EPA concluded that six major greenhouse gases pose a clear danger to current and future generations. The finding has since underpinned vehicle emission standards and other climate protections and has been repeatedly upheld in federal court. Rescinding it now would strip the Environmental Protection Agency of authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from motor vehicles, eliminate manufacturer obligations to measure and report emissions, and undermine decades of progress on clean air and climate policy. Transportation remains the largest source of emissions and a significant source of co-pollutants that disproportionately harm low-income communities and communities of color. San Francisco has long championed climate action and air quality protections, and we cannot allow federal backsliding. I want to thank Supervisor Sauter, Chen, and Fielder for your early co-sponsorship. We also heard from Supervisor Mahmoud, who gave an update on the Air District, but I do just want to add that the Air District is modernizing inspections through a new targeted inspection program that prioritizes environmental justice and community input. Piloted in Bayview Hunters Point since March, the program has focused on facilities identified by the Assembly Bill 617 Community Steering Committee, resulting in multiple notices of violation and the addition of weekend inspections. Using new criteria such as compliance history and emissions inventory, the district inspected 33 more facilities, issuing 7 further violations. To protect residents from wildfire smoke, the Air District is also encouraging the public to sign up for Spare the Air alerts at sparetheair.org. Also, just reporting on the Joint Powers Board for Caltrain. Caltrain has seen a 75% increase in ridership between July 2024 and July 2025. Caltrain is serving over 1 million riders monthly, and weekend ridership is the highest it has ever been. Special event ridership is increasing, as well as Caltrain leaned into partnerships with entities such as the Giants, Oracle, Stanford, and SAP Center. Caltrain has also been creating theme trains for concerts, which is generating positive coverage of the agency and getting new riders to check it out. Caltrain has a strong brand with over 91% favorability rating from riders. Although the ridership trend is outstanding, it is still lower than 2019 levels, approximately 65%. Given the high fare box ratio that Caltrain used to depend on, 75% of the budget from fares, Caltrain has an operating deficit that will hit the budget fiscal year 27. Caltrain is supportive of SB 63, which would help close the pending operating deficit if it is successful. Caltrain is also implementing a non-fare strategy to look at options to generate revenue, such as selling or leasing fiber optic cable, advertising, and other projects to diversify the agency's resources. Recently, one of the local energy providers agreed to pay for the energy that the new electric trains were sending back to the grid. Caltrain will run a bill to get the similar treatment from PG&E as well. Caltrain continues to work on cost efficiency and cost-saving strategies, cutting nearly $10 million out of the budget last year to show that we are tightening our belt. September is Safety Month, and the agency will continue to roll out improvements that increase safety. The latest efforts have been using AI technology as a tool to help us learn what is happening at crossings and to make modifications. Lastly, I have an in memoriam honoring the life and legacy of Samuel Murray, a man whose faith, service, and love for community touched countless lives. Samuel Murray was born on September 19, 1952, in San Francisco, California, to Lee and Doris Murray. He made history as the first African-American student to integrate Justin Siena High School in Napa Valley in the late 1960s, a reflection of the courage and trailblazing spirit that will guide his life. Samuel devoted his career to program development, outreach, advocacy, and community organizing, always with the focus on uplifting populations at risk. A proud member of the San Francisco Bayview Hunters Point Rotary Club, he brought the same dedication to service that marked his personal and professional life. He later pursued his degree in biblical studies at Trinity College, grounding his work and faith in Scripture. A devoted believer in Jesus Christ, Samuel was an active member and elder at Lord's Fellowship, where he faithfully taught Bible studies. Known for his trademark encouragement, "You gotta make it personal," he inspired many by handing out mirrors, books, and even snacks during his lessons. He also organized the annual prayer breakfast, a cherished gathering that united people from across religious traditions to pray for the city. We recognize Sam as a trailblazer, a man of deep faith, and a servant leader whose commitment to community continues to inspire. His legacy of breaking barriers, lifting others, and living with purpose will forever remain a guiding light for San Francisco and beyond. The rest I submit.
Thank you, Supervisor Walton. Supervisor Chan.
Thank you, colleagues. I will report back on our outside board duties. And for me, one is the Free City College Oversight Committee. Earlier the year, prior to budget, the committee has made a series of recommendations specifically about Free City College reimbursements process and also budget to not just include to increase the dollar amount from the existing MOU to also cover student fees. We hope to continue this momentum and that we look forward to work with City College of San Francisco, which now they have a new chancellor, and her name is Dr. Kimberly Messina. And so we look forward to working with her to expand Free City and also to make sure it really is a program that works and deliver for San Franciscans. And that is the work that is coming in the fall to reevaluate the existing MOU to see how we can better the MOU. Next, that I am also on the State Legislation Committee. I've been on this committee with President Mendelman. It was a we did not have any the August positions because the state legislature were on recess, and now they're just returning. So I hope to more to report. Our next meeting will be on September 20th, but generally speaking, should look out for the agenda that typically posted for the state legislation committee. We've been relying on our state lobbyists to track on our behalf. The one that we can, so we'll have more to report back. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Chan. Supervisor Chen. Submit, thank you. Supervisor Dorsey.
Thank you, Madam. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Colleagues, I am honored to bring forward a resolution that I think well complements Supervisor Melgar's recognition of Transit Month. It will declare September 2025 as Muni Heritage Month in the City and County of San Francisco. For 113 years, Muni has served as a lifeline for our communities and a defining part of San Francisco's identity. From its first bus route launched on September 1st, 1917, Muni helped pioneer public transportation in America as the first municipally owned system of its kind in any major U.S. city. Over the decades, Muni has been a national leader in innovation, introducing zero-emission trolley buses, expanding accessible transportation, and bringing public art into everyday commutes. It has also championed the advancement of civil rights, equity for women operators as far back as World War II, supporting LGBTQ+ inclusive workplace policies years before other cities did so, and launching fair equity programs that make transit accessible to all. None of this would be possible without the generations of Muni workers operators, engineers, mechanics, cleaners, and station agents who've kept this city running through good times and through bad, and who continue to connect our neighborhoods every day. We're also incredibly fortunate for the ongoing partnership between SFMTA and the Market Street Railway, who've helped preserve the historic streetcars and cable cars that are not only beloved symbols of our city, but living reminders of our transit legacy. That partnership will be on full display during Muni Heritage Weekend on September 20th and 21st, a joyful celebration of the past, present, and future of public transportation in San Francisco. With this resolution, which has been a labor of love and one example of the great work done by my summer intern, Tommy Liguana, we affirm our appreciation for more than a century of dedicated service, and we recommit ourselves to a future where public transit remains fast, frequent, reliable, safe, and clean, and also truly reflects San Francisco's values of sustainability and inclusion. And now for updates from my outside boards and commissions. I serve on the Bay Conservation and Development Commission, or BCDC, where we have had a productive few months. We approved several large projects and permits region-wide, including two exciting San Francisco projects. First, the commission held a public hearing and voted unanimously to approve an amendment to the San Francisco Waterfront Special Area Plan that will allow for development in Fisherman's Wharf to match the northeastern waterfront. This will allow new opportunities for the area and also establish a sea level rise public education program to be managed by the Exploratorium as a public benefit. I want to thank Supervisor Sauter and his office for their leadership on that. Thanks as well to Port staff for their work and collaboration with BCDC and the community on those updates. Second, the commission voted on an application for India Basin Shoreline Park project to redevelop, expand, and enhance the existing India Basin shoreline with a 7.48-acre area for recreational and public access uses along the India Basin shoreline. Kudos to Supervisor Walton and his office for their leadership on that project, and thanks as well to our Recreation and Park Department for their work with BCDC and the community. Beyond our own city's borders, we also approved a request from Caltrans and MTC to test new transportation options between the North and East Bay to improve transit access or public access to the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge, the East Bay Regional Parks restoration of the Hayward March system, and a couple of other projects. On the Association for Bay Area Governments, or ABAG, we met once since the last update. Our July meeting was mostly informational with updates on the state budget, including the governor's commitments to transit funding and affordable housing investments. We also recommended advancements of the final blueprint for Plan Bay Area 2050 Plus to the CEQA process. The final blueprint includes updates to baseline data, such as transit service levels and equity priority communities, planning assumptions such as level of hybrid work and forecasts for future population and jobs, and growth geographies where future housing and jobs will be focused. On the Reentry Council, which meets quarterly, staff provided updates from the Direct Services Legislation Policy and Practices subcommittees. The council also heard a presentation on reentry services coordination from the founders of Dignify, a company that uses technology to support incarcerated people as they adjust to stable lives after reentry. And finally, on the Health Service Board, there are no major updates to report since we last heard from HSS during our budget process. However, everyone should be aware that open enrollment is coming up, so please be sure to mark your calendars for the open enrollment dates for the 2026 plan year, which will begin on Wednesday, October 1st, and end on Friday, October 24th. Don't miss it, and the rest I submit.
Thank you, Supervisor Dorsey. Supervisor Engardio.
Good afternoon, colleagues. I want to share recent updates from the Golden Gate Bridge and Highway Transportation District. As part of the MTC's regional efforts to coordinate the Bay Area's transit agency schedules, the district's bus and ferry service, Golden Gate Transit, is proposing significant service adjustments this September as part of the Marin-Sonoma Coordinated Transit Service, also known as MASCOTS. The MASCOTS plan was developed in collaboration with North Bay Transit partners, including SMART, Marin Transit, Sonoma County Transit, Petaluma Transit, the MTC, and others, to align with changing travel patterns along the Highway 101 corridor. Proposed changes reflect shifts in ridership due to the introduction of SMART Rail, COVID-19 travel behavior changes, and a renewed push to improve regional transit integration. Given the scarcity of transit funding available from the state and feds, these efforts will help reinvest funds to align with rider demand, including more frequent service between San Rafael and San Francisco. The Bridge District reports that 70% of Golden Gate Bridge travel starts or ends south of San Rafael, and 75% of San Francisco-bound riders are headed to downtown San Francisco and the northeast quadrant of the city. For the Bridge District, this financial strategy focuses on reallocating underutilized service to improve high-demand corridors. Coordinated outreach to North Bay Transit Agency stakeholders began earlier this year. However, some core Bridge District stakeholders, including ATU Local 1575, have shared their concerns and frustrations with the lack of alternatives and the overall pace of this regional transit system realignment, including forced transfers, fewer direct routes, loss of key connections, economic impacts, and equity concerns. The first public hearing on the proposed route changes was held in August, and public review will continue this month. The Bridge Board is expected to make final decisions by the end of September, with implementation planned for spring 2026 in coordination with regional transit partners. In other Bridge District news, bridge traffic, bus ridership, and ferry ridership continues to grow year after year. The district is continuously evaluating ridership trends and adjusting bus and ferry transit service schedules in order to meet demand. The Bridge District is also working to address years of chronic underperformance of its retirement plan for bus operators. Over the past decade, poor investment returns contributed to retirement plan losses totaling nearly $24 million. Today, the Bridge District's retirement plan is just 47% funded, with an unfunded liability totaling $105 million. Colleagues, today I am introducing a long overdue resolution to recognize District 4's La Playa Village neighborhood, its residents and broader community for its historical, architectural, and cultural impact. While many may think of this area as the quaint, laid-back, beachy neighborhood at the terminus of the N. Judah turnaround, I am proud to highlight and celebrate this community's 100-plus years of grassroots action, transforming underutilized public spaces into public community benefit. From the conversion of 1800s cable cars into homes in the early 1900s, to historic small businesses, to the neighborhood's commitment to create La Playa Park, I am proud to recognize the significance of La Playa Village on District 4's artistic and beachside culture. I encourage residents and visitors to ride the N. Judah to the end of the line so you can experience this neighborhood for yourselves. And sadly, today I ask that we adjourn this meeting in memory of Father Edward Eddie Reese, who passed away on August 2nd after a brief battle with pancreatic cancer. Father Reese was 82 years old, and for the past 9 years, he served as the president of St. Ignatius College Prep. But his legacy and commitment to educate our youth spans decades. For 54 years, Father Reese dedicated his life as a Jesuit high school teacher and administrator, serving at 6 different schools. Father Reese was born on October 2, 1942, in Los Angeles. Quickly after graduating from Loyola High School of Los Angeles, he began his ministry in education. His early assignments included teaching history and English at Loyola High School, where he later served in several administrative roles. In 1980, he became principal of Belle Armin College Preparatory in San Jose, where he led for 13 years and pioneered the integration of technology into the curriculum during the rise of Silicon Valley. His ministry also took him to Sydney, Australia, to Sacramento, and to Phoenix, Arizona, before becoming the 31st president of St. Ignatius High School. Father Reese quickly made a profound impact by launching the Father Sauer Academy, which grew the school's scholarship endowment. He also spearheaded the vision for the new Learning Commons, which is now under construction. His leadership had a significant impact on the SI community over the past 10 years, which will continue to shape generations of students in the years to come. Throughout his 60 years as a Jesuit, Father Eddie was known not only for his administrative excellence, but his joyful spirit, sharp wit, and deep pastoral care. He often said, "If you're not having fun, then what are you doing?" Father Reese's funeral was held on August 20th at St. Ignatius Church at the University of San Francisco. He is survived by his brother, Father Thomas J. Reese of Washington, D.C., and the rest I submit.
Thank you, Supervisor Ringardio. Supervisor Sherrill. Submit. Thank you. Mr. President, seeing no names on the roster, that concludes the introduction of new business.
Okay, let's go to public comment.
At this time, the board welcomes your general public comment. You can line up on the right-hand side of the chamber, your right-hand side. You may speak to the minutes as presented, items 12 through 16 on the adoption without committee reference calendar, other general matters that are not on the published agenda but must be within the board's subject matter jurisdiction. We're setting the timer for 2 minutes. Just keep your eye on the timer on the lectern there. Mr. Washington, we'll start with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Clerk, I just want to say welcome back to this rat race here in City Hall by the Bay. I just want to say I'm going to put a notice to all the supervisors and the mayor, and I'm going to try to do this in 2 minutes. We are in a state of emergency in the Western Addition, A2 area, D5, however you want to call it. Dysfunctional all up and down the Fillmore. All in the communities. It's dysfunctional. And I don't have time to name them. I could. I'll start from Safeway, the Addition, there's so much. Now we got Ella Hill Hutch closing down the Culture Center. What the hell is going on in the A2 area? D5, I know it ain't your fault, but it's on your watch now. And I talked to you, by the way, congratulations on your wedding. I did that 50 years ago. And I can show you how long ago. Let me just say, my experience here in City Hall, it goes back decades. The only one, the clerk's been here a little longer than Dorsett. He's been here a little while. But nobody's been in the supervisor's chambers longer than Ace on the case. I've been here 30-something years. I shed some tears. But I'm here to tell you, I'm putting a notice out to the mayor and the supervisors. We are in a state of emergency. I need to have your attention to come into the Fillmore. You've been put on notice. I got 30 seconds. And I will be putting in writing. We need attention in the Fillmore. Well, I call it the feel. No more. But I'm trying to put the feel back in the more. But I need some help from these politicians. Politics are full of tricks. It makes you turn to a lunatic. And I'm not trying to be facetious, but I'm telling y'all, I'm putting y'all on notice today. We are in a state of emergency in the Fillmore. My name is Ace.
And I'm on Thank you case. For your comments. Next speaker.
I wish we would show a little respect for our president, and I won't mention any names in particular, but I would like to talk about this remarkable prophecy in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 14 that has to do with 1776. In the spring, it ended in 1776. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed or made righteous or justified. I guess it's the same Hebrew word when Solomon prayed and said, in regards to justifying the righteous, he said, then hear thou in heaven and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. Now, 2,300 days means nothing in regards to a solar lunar cycle, but 2,300 years is a very, very precise solar lunar cycle that Daniel obviously had no idea about, okay? And there was a Greek astronomer named Metonic who found out every 19 years, within a couple hours, you had a new moon every 19 years. And then Calippus found out a couple hundred years after that, every 76. Gosh, 76 years, you would have an even more precise one. But when Solomon's temple was destroyed, I can prove it. Okay, it was exactly 2,300 years. Okay, we are so, to 1776. We are so blessed to live here. Okay, start reading the Bible, repent and believe in Jesus Christ. That's your problem. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. He died for your sins. He resurrected.
Thank you for your comments. Let's welcome our next speaker, please.
Tell him Jesus is coming. He's coming back. He really is. Good afternoon, Board of Supervisors. For the record, my name is Chris Ward Klein. I also go by Sergeant Klein of the United States Marine Corps. I'll start with a quote from James Baldwin. People are trapped in history, and history is trapped in them. And San Francisco knows this too well. I have a copy of an FBI report and supporting evidence of human rights violations here in San Francisco by people in San Francisco. I am required by law to turn this over to the Board of Supervisors today, which I will a hard copy. It's very concerning, just very concerning, and we had to do this by the book. Before I re-enlisted into the Marine Corps, I knew something was wrong. I filed a United Nations Human Rights Report. Then I contacted the Department of Defense Office of Inspecting General. Then I was requested to join the United States Marine Corps and to file this report. Read it, look at the facts, and with an open mind, partner with the other leaders in this city who are being briefed as of this morning by senior military officers. Before you look at anyone else at the state level or federal government, you have to look here locally. And that's what I'm asking each of you to do. There are some people on this report that are named as suspects. There are others that are not named because those are sealed records. So I request to have someone take over this report.
Good evening, Board of Supervisors. My name is Tommy Liguana, and as a lifelong MUNI rider, oops, sorry about that.
The rest I submit.
Thank you.
I'm Welcome. Here today to speak in support of declaring September 2025 as MUNI Heritage Month. For over a century, MUNI has provided equitable transportation to generations of San Franciscans, becoming a defining part of our city's history and culture. And yesterday, September 1st, marked 108 years of MUNI bus service in San Francisco. As a pioneering municipally owned transit system, MUNI has long provided accessible vehicles and services designed to meet the needs of all riders, demonstrating an unwavering devotion to inclusive public service. Today, thanks to the work of the SFMTA and the Market Street Railway, MUNI's heritage is kept alive through their historic buses, streetcars, and cable cars. The beloved F-Line, the San Francisco Railway Museum, and the upcoming MUNI Heritage Weekend offer residents and visitors alike the chance to experience these cherished symbols of San Francisco's identity and transit legacy. By recognizing September 2025 as MUNI Heritage Month, we honor the dedication of the SFMTA and the Market Street Railway staff in preserving MUNI's history, celebrating not only their work for the enjoyment of all, but also the role MUNI has played in shaping San Francisco's unique character. I urge the Board of Supervisors to support this declaration and join in celebrating more than a century of MUNI service in San Francisco. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Welcome our next speaker.
Hi, my name is Julia Toscano. I'm a coordinator with the NorCal TPS Coalition, and I'm speaking in regards to the resolution brought to you to vote today to urge congressional delegation to urge Congress to create a permanent residency pathway for all temporary protected status TPS holders. Many of these TPS holders in this city are workers. They work in healthcare. They are educators. They work at our airport. They work in the food service industry. They're janitors. This revoking this temporary protected status that protects these workers in San Francisco is cruel, and based off of the July 29th case, unconstitutional under the Equal Protections Clause 14th Amendment because of racial, it's being done so to certain countries based on racial animus. Many of these people are in fear of their lives. They are business owners. They've been here many for like 30 years, are struggling to, are in fear of like, will they get their Social Security that they've been paying taxes to since they've been here? Will they be separated from their children who were born here? Will they be able to continue working and extending their work permit, extending their, renewing their driver's license? will they get deported by ICE? So thank you in advance for your support in passing this resolution, and on behalf of all of everybody who's here at the rally, thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Welcome to our next speaker.
Good afternoon. I'm Tab Buckner, and I would like to echo what Julia just said about the TPS resolution and really take in the gravity of all of this. As mentioned earlier in this meeting, our democracy is under assault, and it's absolutely critical that we have a unanimous vote from this board to show that San Francisco has a very, very strong voice in supporting the community that we so regularly on a day-to-day basis rely on. This is one of a course of compassion and fairness, and also we would be very self-defeating and not supporting this community, because we rely on them in so many essential ways, in so many different professions throughout the country and right here in the city. So I urge every single one of you to vote on this, and hopefully our mayor will also back you up as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Tab Buckner, for your comments. Welcome to our next speaker.
Busting open. I did have something I wrote down, but I don't even think I want to say what I wrote down. I think I just want to talk off the top of my head. Supervisor Connie Jane Chang, let's start with her. Coming into Bayview Hunters Point at the Democratic meeting, mugging me. I caught your mug. You didn't have to do what you did, but you did it.
Ma'am,
but
I'm
anyway,
your time.
I just wanted to let her know I caught what she did.
Ma'am,
I understand the rules.
Hang on,
I'm about
one
to
second.
Get to it.
Please do not address members directly.
Well,
address the
she
board
needs
as a
to
whole.
Get addressed. Anyway, I'm here to speak on behalf of Black urban San Francisco. We will no longer keep sitting here allowing city officials, community-based organizations to keep bullying us, being racist towards us, and hating on us at the same time. My name is Muffy. Since y'all all aware of alter egos and y'all all had parties and all this during y'all vacation, I'm Muffy. And Muffy is a little different than the other people some of y'all might know. You get what I'm saying? We're tired. Y'all just cut the city just cut the mental health budget. See, y'all think mental health is people out there on drugs. I'm mental health. I'm a survivor of San Francisco racist ass war on drugs and all the stuff they did to us out in Hunters Point, and we're tired. So one of the things we're going to have to probably do is we're going to have to take matters in our own hand and start combating what y'all out here doing, whites, Asians, and others. You get what I'm saying? Because we're tired. And when I have to read books like Raven, The Untold Story of Jim Jones, and Season of the Witch, and Trump, The Code of Trump, I'm so sure that it's a reason why this city operates the way it runs. Like Dianne Feinstein, Uncle Noir said, because y'all all sit around here, act like stupidvisors, and I'm gone.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Welcome to our next speaker.
Good afternoon. My name is Jaime Villoria. I'm the outreach and organizing manager for San Francisco Transit Riders. It's hot out there. It's September, and it's also Transit Month. Thank you to Supervisor Melgar for introducing the resolution on recognizing September as Transit Month and reaffirming the support for public transportation. Public transportation is the most efficient and affordable way for San Franciscans to get around. It is a public good that we, the people, own, and it only benefits not only transit riders, but SF as a whole, from reduced congestions, increased traffic safety, increased economic benefits, and, of course, its environmental benefits. Let's celebrate Transit Month by promoting and using transit. Let's continue to advocate and fight for it. And finally, let's celebrate by having lots of fun. This year's theme is Adventure Starts on Transit. There's plenty of adventures to be had in the Bay, and you can start it by taking a transit. We look forward to seeing the members of the board and our mayor for joining the ride-along along this Thursday and also joining us in front of City Hall for the kickoff rally. We also look forward for what I presume will be a unanimous vote for this resolution. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your continued support of public transit. And we look forward to your leadership in keeping our public transit alive so it can thrive. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Before we go to the next speaker, sir, just pause one moment. Are there any other members of the public who would like to address the board during general public comment? If so, please line up on the right-hand side, your right-hand side of the room. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Stephen Gallardo, a San Francisco resident, homeowner of District 10, and I'm here today to thank everybody who we walked around and lobbied a little bit to gain support of TPS, the resolution in front of you, item number 15. And I'm going to share some stories of real life people living with TPS and what could happen if we do not protect these people. So yesterday was Labor Day. I decided rather than to use my day off to go and meet with an old lady who I supported to get rehoused here in San Francisco. She was displaced by an owner move-in eviction, which we all know became a very big thing here in San Francisco, and a lot of our folks were displaced. We thankfully have a preference in affordable housing to allow for folks in her situation to get rehoused. We successfully rehoused her with help of many folks. Shout out to Meda and Dairo Romero who helped. But my story and her story is endless. She's been a TPS receiver since 1994, paid taxes, worked in our city, worked in hotels, cleaned houses. Her kids went to our SF public schools. Her grandkids have now graduated from SF public schools. These are families that are going to be impacted immediately if their grandmother is removed and now sent to Honduras. So I am so happy to hear that all you are on board with us and supporting this TPS. It is beyond the countries right now that we're talking about, Nepal, El Salvador, and Honduras, but there are 17 countries in total that this protection is protecting people. And I urge you all to inform yourselves, to help inform our mayor, to help inform your constituents about how important it is to not only stand for the person next to you, but to stand for the person behind you and everybody in the room. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Welcome to our next speaker.
Good afternoon, Board of Supervisors and President Handelman. My name is Richard S. D. Peterson. I like to come to the Board of Supervisors meetings. They are essentially our House of Commons. I saw the House of Commons on the TV the other night, and it seemed to be quite a bit more lively than what occurs in this august arena. Anyway, I just want to comment that San Francisco, I hope you realize, dodged a bullet, and that was really fortuitously, and I speak about the last election. None of the candidates that I supported, were elected. However, coming up through the middle as a conservative, our mayor became an elected mayor. And he's running a fairly decent ship, the way I see it, but he's going to need our backing. And the thing is that ICE is going to target not us so much anymore due to the election of a privileged white male, but because the city of Oakland still is run by not only a mayor who is black, but a former senator who is black. And so Oakland is going to need all the help that we can give it. And let's face it, look at this august body. It's kind of like the village people. I mean, we got somebody from everywhere. Anyway, that's all I got to say. And oh, shout out for Mimi Haas. Hey, I'm having a party. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you for your comments. All right, I guess this will be our last speaker since
yes,
no one else
it's going to be the
up.
Last one.
Welcome.
Miss, since the evolution of unintelligence leads to this, the message is clear. So you need you here.
You need to stop working for the pedophiles that now run the government. That's it. If you are a pedophile yourself, you can only repent, because no matter what, you'll deal with an operation, huh? Because you are extreme danger. Right now, kids are being not only, it's not only pedophilia, of course, it's child trafficking, sacrifice, torture. Do you want me to bring a 7-year-old here in front of you to show to the world what they do to them? Okay, so I'm going to give you a perfect way to get out of it here, because you are trapped, obviously, under blackmail or not. The advantage you have with calling out the pedophiles is that it will make you exonerated from anything else wrong that you've been committing since not elected, as you know, picked. Because you agreed to follow the agenda of pedophiles. This is over. I passed the word all over the city already. Now it's spreading everywhere. In stores. Stop working for pedophiles. Everybody hears now the word of mouth is working. I guarantee you, you are done. So you, sheriff, you stop working for pedophiles. You understand? Learn how to. You guys are done. Do as I say, otherwise game over for real. Seriously, call them out if you are not one, and you'll exonerate yourself for anything wrong, including climate, aggression, food poisoning, all of it. Understand? It's your chance.
Thank you for your comments. Are there any other speakers to address the board during general public comment? Seeing none, Mr. President.
All right. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Public comment is now closed. Let's go to our adoption without committee reference agenda, items 12 through 16.
Items 12 through 16 were introduced for adoption, but without reference to committee. A unanimous vote is required for adoption of a resolution on first appearance today. Alternatively, a member may require a resolution on first appearance to go to committee.
I don't see anyone in the queue, so Madam Clerk, can you please call the roll?
On items 12 through 16, Supervisor Fielder. Fielder, aye. Supervisor Mahmoud. Mahmoud, aye. Supervisor Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Supervisor Melgar. Aye. Melgar, aye. Supervisor Sauter. Sauter, aye. Supervisor Sherrill. Sherrill, aye. Supervisor Walton. Aye. Walton, aye. Supervisor Chan. Aye. Chan, aye. Supervisor Chen. Aye. Chen, aye. Supervisor Dorsey. Aye. Dorsey, aye. Supervisor Engardio. Aye. Engardio, aye. There are 11 ayes.
Without objection, the resolutions are adopted. Madam Clerk, do we have any imperative agenda items?
I have none to report, Mr. President.
Could you please read the in memoriams?
Yes, today's meeting will be adjourned in memory of the following beloved individuals. On behalf of President Mandelman, for the late Father Mario Paul Farana. On behalf of Supervisor Sauter, for the late Miss Christina Moylan. On behalf of Supervisor Walton, for the late Mr. Samuel Murray. And on behalf of Supervisor Engardio, for the late Father Edward Reese.
I believe that brings us to the end of our agenda. Madam Clerk, is there any further business before us today?
That concludes our business for today.
Then in that case, thank you, Madam Clerk. We are adjourned.